There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 926, February 21st. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. Now playing in the FIA elevator. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back. No more, no more, no more. Now back to Mr. Geffen of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Massey gone in 60 seconds. Austin Cindric wins the Daytona 500. Andretti will be in Formula One in 2024. LCH caught listening to Thin Lizzy. And Alpine reveal the A522, nicknamed El Conquistador. And just a reminder, we need your contributions. Keep this program on the server. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Mr. Rogers, I am doing very good. Thank you. I am totally elated. Now, here is how the life is going on in 2022. Last month, Moa was at Daytona 24 hours. At the end of this month, IndyCar season opener. Next month, Sebring. And then in April, I'll find something else. So I am very, very happy. Thank you for asking. And how are things on the left coast, sir?
Absolutely wonderful. We saw the new Alpine A522, and she is a bitchin' ride. And we also know that Renault has come out and said, we will go right to performance and forget about reliability. We want to be machismo with the machismo.
So we're talking Renault 1982-83.
Indeed, flames and smoke, but exciting, exciting, exciting.
Yes, and leading every race. And in those days, they used to retire at the same time, you know, within a few laps of each other in sympathy. So that's very, very, interesting. And of course, we want more and more what you call competition. So that will be interesting. And there will be competition for the new director of FIA. There will be Mr. Eduardo Freitas, who I'm very familiar with because he is the race director in World Endurance Championship. And he has a heavy voice. All drivers to the grid. All drivers to the grid. So he will share the duty with somebody else, which will not be Michael Massey. So how did you take that news?
I thought it was just fine. I think Michael Massey, some people say that he didn't really get fired, that he walked. Other people said that it was brutal. They actually had a recording of Donald Trump saying, you're fired. So, yeah, I've heard everything.
Yeah, that's very good. Well, you know, something had to be done. The whole world, as they are reporting now, more people watched the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix last year than the Super Bowl this year. And as you know, and as you saw, Super Bowl is famous for its halftime show every year. Formula One is now infamous for its last lap freak show, thanks to one man going, I got the power to not follow my own rules. Allowing some cars to unlap while others could not, that was beautiful. You know, Mr. Rogers, and we don't want to spend too much time on this, but in the past 30 years, many races finished behind the safety car, including the great Indy 500, Just Ask, Rain-Soaked, Ashley Judd, and Spa 2021. Time and circumstances dictating such boring scenarios. And you really cannot blame anybody for those kind of situations. But this does not mean you become an instant Vince McMahon of motorsports. If MM's decision was smart, he would be collecting a trophy and not polishing up his CV. And of course, that's his call. But on a positive note, he will remain with FIA, and I hope he does, and will always get lifelong free factory tour at Heineken, and he can always grab a free six-pack or two on the way out. The only comfort from all this saga, when all is said and done, the most deserving driver of the season won the world championship. Just not in the way most racing fans would have wanted. But you know what they say in racing, Mr. Rogers? You take the wins as they come. So we cannot blame the drivers for what happened there. But wait, there's more common sense from FIA. They have confirmed Formula One drivers qualifying in the top 10 will no longer be required to start the race on Q2 tires from the starting effective this season. So this, I think, is very, very good. So maybe they're trying to spice up the show. And obviously, we're not going to get refueling back because it adds weight and freight cost and all that kind of stuff. But the cars, Mr. Rogers, are, and that's why I'm so excited, the cars are looking beautiful. I mean, I don't know what happened to Formula One some years ago. I think it all started with that step nose nonsense. You know, that design that Lotus had come out with, which you really liked for different reasons. It has been going downhill, but these cars are looking beautiful. Some of the paint scheme is very good. Shall we talk about the launches now?
Indeed.
What got your attention? What did you like? Obviously, apart from Alpine.
That was it. Everything else looked pretty blasé to me.
Okay. Are we supposed to be surprised here?
None whatsoever.
That's good. You're very consistent, Mr. Rogers. The launch of Silver Arrows and the unleashing of Prancing Horse. Man, that blood-red Ferrari looks molto bene and super veloce. You know what they say, if it looks fast, it will go fast. The spaghetti culture may have finally cooked a mean machine. The car is beautiful. I hope Charles or Carlito do what Arneige did in 1989, win the opening round and shell shock the Silver Arrows. They, meaning Silver Arrows, sure need more competition than just Max. Maybe this was the car Machismo wanted for his birthday not too long ago. And then he was not the only one. His replacement, Sebastian Vettel, was looking for Take 5 with Scuderia Ferrari. But Dave Brubeck did not show up to play the winning tune. The color of the 2022 Ferrari, thanks to Marlboro leaving the scene, takes me back to the beautiful 1974 Ferrari 312 driven by Clara Gazzoni and Niki Lauda. Moi is very happy and excited about the new F1 car from Ferrari. Bravo, bravo to Binotto and boys. Oh, Scusi, boys and girls. I say bring back V10 and Desiree. What say you?
Jolly good, jolly good. Yes, the Ferrari did look pretty bitchin'. We have to admit to that. So, yeah, the Ferrari and the Alpine, I think, are bad to the bone. So it's going to be great watching everybody follow Fernando in Barcelona. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be one hell of a season.
And you know, all these positive vibes are making me a born-again F1 fan. It's yesterday, 1973 to be precise once more. If only I could see Ronnie Peterson and Francois Sever race again. And you're talking about Alpine, the car that also looked very beautiful, especially the new green color, is the Aston Martin. And their launch was very impressive, I have to say. Any thoughts on how the Aston Martin looks, sir?
I thought it was okay, but I've never been a BRG guy. So it is what it is.
Who do you think in the green will have the upper hand? Sebastian or Lance?
Well, Sebastian has to have upper hand or he will get lower kick in the bootay.
And I'm assuming you watched the Alpine launch today.
Of course. Stimulating.
Yeah, the BWT, Pink Panther has sponsorship has moved here, and they had the head of BWT, which stands for Best Water Technology or Treatment, Best Water, something like that. He was also there, and it was a good show, and the car looks good, and we'll see how it goes on the track, and we'll find out pretty soon. You know what is interesting? You were talking about they want to go for performance and not be conservative about the reliability situation. They are also going with the turbo split, you know. They have a new power unit for the season, and they will adopt the split turbine and compressor concept, which was pioneered by Mercedes. And this is the area where Honda had the biggest headache with their GP2 engine. But they, finally, and Red Bull got their Massey Fight World Championship in the bag. They also say good things come in three. So I'm hoping Renault Power can provide Tercero Campeonato for Machismo. Do you honestly believe that they have a winning car this year?
I honestly do, Nasser. I had a little bird came to my garage while I was tinkering on the Citroën Traction Avant 11 Légère. And indeed, she said, Fernando!
Well, a few weeks ago you said you have given up on them and they will leave and Alonso will retire. So this Tweety Bird did bring you some classified information.
Indeed. And yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's a new season, you know. That was the past, the depressive years, the long void of nothingness. So we'll see what happens, huh?
Yeah, I think this bird must have escaped from Mike Coughlin's cage. So good for you. Okay, sir, anything else you want to say or talk about as far as the launches are concerned?
Well, we have to talk about Zaffnauer now being at Renault, denying that he was going to Renault or Alpine, whatever. So, yeah, we have an American in Paris now.
Oh, yeah, what is this world coming to? An American heading a Formula One French team. That's beautiful. You know, he's been in Formula One for over 2 years. I'm sorry, 20 years. And obviously, he is a valued member of the you know, F1 community. Because when Vijay Mallya sold the Force India team, Lawrence Stroll kept him for a while, and then he brought in his people, Martin Whitmarsh, and now he's been picked up by a French team. So that's very good. And this is the team that let Alain Prost go and brought him in. So it's just like one of those things, you know, a very German team called Mercedes-Benz. They let Michael Schumacher go to bring in Lucky Lewis. So very, very interesting, I have to say. Okay, sir, the other big news is the leaked information from Papa Mario about Michael Andretti launching a application to go Formula One. And this is getting a lot of press because the Andretti name is very successful, very respected. I mean, we're talking Mario and Michael, not Marco and Jarrett Andretti. So your thoughts and take on this, sir. I'm very excited, to be honest with you.
Well, they're ready to do the plunge, and they said that they're prepared to pay the $200 million entry fee. And it looks like serious business. It's funny because on that announcement, the coattails of that announcement had Marco Andretti coming back for the Indy 500.
Yeah, they should bring Danica also. But, you know, as far as this thing is concerned, Michael came very close to taking ownership of Sauber, Alfa Romeo, whatever you want to call them, and that deal fell apart based on how much control he will get. Late last year, he launched a company on the stock exchange or whatever exchange, and they raised this, $200 million that is required. And that's just the entry fee to buy a facility and this and that. And Mario is saying that he's already got a power plant lined up and looks like it might be Renault Power. Wouldn't that be interesting? An American man heading a French Formula One team and a French engine power supplying power to an American team. I love this globalization. This is beautiful. Whatever it takes, you know, you got to make things happen. So this is very interesting, and it's obviously it's not going to happen this year, but hopefully it will work out. It will be fantastic if we can see the Andretti name on a Formula One car. And Mario is up there in age. I would love to see this in what you call in his lifetime. And, you know, I'm hoping. See, here's the good news I have not shared with you, Mr. Rogers. Monday is a holiday here in the US of A, and I was told not to work, and to which I responded to my boss, can we make a deal here? And the deal was, I work today, which I did, and in return, I have Friday off. So early morning Friday, I will be at the St. Petersburg IndyCar Grand Prix, and there are other events also going on there. So I'm hoping I can have a little chat with Mario like I had at the Atlanta airport and get some more info. And I thought because of the Italian heritage, the supplier would be Ferrari. But what I'm hearing through the chatter on the web, it will be Renault. But you never know. But I don't think Ford for sure is not going to come back because they've been scaling back their global motorsports program. And Chevrolet, I don't think they will be interested. So this is very, very good. And of course, they want to take Colton Herta with them, and good for them. But this is very exciting. Two American-owned Formula One teams, two Formula One races here, and, you know, before the season is over, we may have an announcement. We're going to Vegas, baby. So we'll see. Well, if they race in Vegas, you can take the Greyhound to get there.
That's true. That is within the budget. $20 round trip, Nasser.
Yeah, leave the driving to them.
Grazie.
Yes. Okay, sir, now talking of motor racing action, sprint action, there will be 3 sprint races this year. They were trying to get 6-7 races going, but the team said, hey, show me the money per race. So they have now settled for 3. Imola, Red Bull Ring, and Interlagos. I think these are all 3 good tracks to have these sprint races. What we don't want is a sprint race in Singapore or Azerbaijan. Now, they've made some changes. You know, last year, the only top 3 guys will get points, 3-2-1. Now it has been increased to 8. And so that's very interesting. And it will be less 1 point for each points going down. So the 8 person guy who finishes 8th will get 1 point. So this is... are you a big fan of sprint races?
No. I think it's stinko. And it's distracting, and I want to go back to the vintage way.
You know, more motor racing is better than less motor racing, but Formula One is such a unique package, you know, that obviously I did enjoy watching, and so did Bottas racing, as you mentioned last week. But the novelty has already worn off for me. Okay, sir, we have an extension for Circuit of the Americas. Formula One race will go on in Austin, Texas, till 2026. So that's very good. Now we have minimum 2 races we can do in this country till Vegas Grand Prix shows its legs. And we'll see how it goes on that. Okay, sir. Shall we take a break or talk about the Daytona 500 now?
Let's take a break because I'm feeling like a Pabst Blue Ribbon right now. So let's take a quick short break and we'll be back after this vintage beer commercial.
Imagine for a moment that you're in the gay 90s, headed for an evening at the best spot in town.
Bartender, 3 more blue ribbons.
Imagine you're here to enjoy the great premium beer of the day, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
More Pabst.
Pabst was brewed for people who really liked beer.
3 more blue ribbons. Bartender.
This was the time Pabst was the beer. And now that you've imagined what the gay 90s were like, you know what our beer is all about. Good old-time flavor. Original Pabst Blue Ribbon beer is still brewed today the old-time premium way by the first of the great Milwaukee brewers.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. The biggest race, interesting, the biggest race of NASCAR Nation starts the series, the Daytona 500. Austin Cindric was the winner, young chap. He gave Roger Penske a perfect 85th birthday present by winning what is labeled or promoted as the Great American Race. You know, this is very interesting. Penske runs a Ford in NASCAR, Chevy in Indy cars, and soon Porsche in sports car racing. Austin, you know, talk about keeping it in the family. Listen to this. Austin is the son of Tim Cindric, who is the president of Penske Racing. Tim is married to the daughter of late Jim Truman. He was the founder of Red Roof Inns and owner of True Sports IndyCar team, which won the 1986 Indy 500 with Bobby Rahal. And Jim Truman was one of those very, very few people who, he was instrumental in bailing out the career of Willie T. Ribbs. Willie T. Ribbs was out of racing, and Jim Truman approached him and told him, I want to help you. And that's how he got back into racing. The Indy 500 of 1986 is the race. And if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Rogers, because when I came into this country in 1985, I had to listen to the race on radio in my big Lincoln Mercury Monterey from 1969 pedigree, or vintage, as you would say. So the 1986 Indy 500, which I'm pretty sure was the first Indy 500 that was televised live in the US of A. And the race should have been won by a young Southern California driver. And I was a huge fan of this guy because he used to race in Europe and he was doing a pretty decent job there too. And the name is Kevin Cogan. But late in the race, he got the Isaac Hayes CD shaft thanks to a caution, and then Bobby Rahal got the jump on him. But these things happen. Okay, Daytona 500. Bubba Wallace was second, and fifth was Eric Almirola. He's been doing a pretty good job, and I just found out during the telecast that he is from Tampa, FLA. So he might be in the hood, you know. I'm surprised I have not run into him at Target or Walmart, but then I won't even recognize the guy. But if he's still residing here, I'll try to hook up with him. And have you ever done an interview with a NASCAR driver, like a full-time NASCAR driver?
Only A.J. Allmendinger.
No, at that time he was in IndyCar racing. I'm talking about a, you know, currently racing. And then, you know what we will do? When we do an interview with a NASCAR driver, we're going to do it in stages so he feels at home.
And what about Jacques Villeneuve, 1997 Formula One world champion? He was there driving. He's a NASCAR driver.
Yes, and he was using that thing that caught my attention. He was using his dad's very famous number 27, so that was nice. So we'll see how it goes. You know, they race at Sears Point, right? Whatever they call the track, Sonoma Raceway. Do you have any plans to ever go to that race?
No.
I went to the very first stock car race at Sears Point. Man, I'll tell you, when I used to go for sports car races, they were not doing Indy cars in those days. The traffic was like just outside the gate. But man, when the NASCAR went there first time, God, the traffic was, I mean, you were stuck in traffic for like 2 miles before you got to the track. I'll never forget that. So that's the big, and I'm sure the event is still a big show, you know. So anyway, okay, sir, we were talking about the TV audience. The reported audience for Super Bowl was 101 million people watching. And for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was 108, and that is the global power of Formula One. And I have to say a lot of credit for this goes to Netflix. Would you agree on that?
I have no idea, sir. Don't watch Netflix. I'm one of those reclusive, long fingernail kind of people.
Like Howard Hughes? Or this guy who recently passed away, Richard Durst?
Correct.
Very good, very good. So people like Desiree, David Tapia, and Hot Dog, Steve Fobb, and myself were the lucky few who had the immense pleasure of an audience with Mr. Rogers.
Bravo.
That's good. So this, it's an interesting, but on a sad note, there was a report on racing outlets about a gentleman by the name of Roger Rager. I had never heard of him. He was a sprint car ace, and he briefly led the 1980 Indy 500, and he has now passed away at the age of 73. But what is interesting about his run at Indy is that he put an engine, a stock block engine, which he has taken out from a school bus. You know, in those days, you can run stock block engines. Remember when Buicks, a lot of people would run Buick engines?
That's the all-aluminum block Buick engine, sir.
Yeah, and I think Dale Coyne used to run that also, if I'm not mistaken, when he was a racing driver. So, sir, testing is around the corner, unfortunately, and very sad that it will not be on. But some of the teams have posted, or maybe, you know, spy photos or videos. Somebody, I saw a little video of about a minute of the Sauber Alfa Romeo at Fiorano. So hopefully we'll get something like that. What are you expecting in terms of performance from this preseason testing?
Well, you'll be able to get some updates on Fernando if you go to the, this is the secret in España, if you go to the elmatador.com website for the conquistador and the toreadora, you know, the bullfighting website will have all the Fernando updates and testing. So the machismo is prepared to be covered at all times. And yes, it's going to be exciting. I'm telling you, everybody's mocking me, but it's Fernando back at the top.
Man, you know, I hope Ferrari does very well. It's just a big name, a magical name, and they've been down in the dumps. You know, they have not won a Constructors' Championship since 2008, I believe. Isn't that amazing?
Extremely amazing, but it is a tough world out there in NAS, and I hate to say this, but they might win one race in 2022.
I have a feeling that they will win more than that, and I think Carlito will get his maiden win, which will make all of Spain and his Papito, who is a very nice gentleman, very happy. And I'll be very happy too. We want to see more and more people getting wins. And it will be interesting if Lando Norris can get one. He almost got one last year. But I think the top dogs, Max and Lewis, will be at it again. And I'm glad, you know, that the situation between Lewis and Max has not gone on a personal level like, or even with Alonso, it did not go as it went sour with between Alain Prost and Ayrton Senna. Oh, by the way, you know, speaking of Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost, last few days, I've been doing this, but, you know, the season is getting closer and closer. I'm getting more and more excited. So I've been watching, like, I was watching the 1983 Belgian Grand Prix, a couple of other races from, and then I was watching a European Formula 3000 series, which was the predecessor to the GP2 series. And they were talking about Mark Webber doing a good job. And another familiar name came up after they were done with Mark, Fernando Alonso. And I said, oh, back when he was mini machismo. So that's been very good. And I watched the you know, that epic battle between Michael Andretti and Juan Pablo Montoya at the Michigan 500, which is always, so now on my radar is to watch tonight a little bit of the 1987 Michigan 500. That track is faster than Indy and higher banking. And it's nice to see these old names, you know. I mean, you can hear names like Pancho Carter and Kevin Colgan. And remember Roberto Guerrero?
Yep.
He used to be in Formula One. Yeah, so that's what it is. Anything else, Mr. Rogers, you would like to talk about?
Not really. I'm pretty done. But I do what you do. But instead of watching old races, I watch old Johnny Carson episodes.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Carson. Man, you know, I watched every Johnny Carson show till he retired. And, you know, some of the stuff like Karnak and El Moldo. And, you know, he used to do the Carl impression of Carl Sagan also.
Billions and billions.
Yes, and I remember he used that. One of the things that was like, wow, he used to do what they call, Ed McMahon would call, a newscast of the future, 30, 40 years ahead. And there would be Johnny Carson sitting there on the desk, like, dressed up like Mr. Spock, with all these, you know, galactic stars moving around. And you know what his name was of the newscaster? Zontar Rather.
Yes, that's beautiful, Nasser. I like Mr. Rather.
Yeah, Zontar Rather. Okay, sir, we come to the... this time we have, for the first time, we have infamous last words. This is William Steam Principal Jos Capito, who is from Germany and used to be head of Volkswagen Motorsports. And he, you know, Williams is removing this year the Senna logos from the car, and there are mixed feelings on that. And he said this, and I quote, "We had to look now in the future and not showing the drivers the S all the time they get in the car and being reminded on what happened," end quote. Your thoughts on removing the logo?
I think it's absolutely correct. Reminding everybody about a depressing, terrible moment, skip it. Let's memorialize Senna in our own way.
Yeah, and they have put together a new, like, Ayrton Senna memorial exhibit at the factory. And again, I don't know the details. I don't know if they were paying a pretty penny for the Senna Foundation. And I do know Senna Foundation, just like the Michael Schumacher, you know, management, they have a hawk eye on who's using their name and this and that. You know, I tried to do a couple of years ago, a calendar dedicated to Ayrton Senna and his racing thing. And I had met Bruno Senna's sister in England some years ago at a race. So I reached out to her. And she gave me a number to reach somebody at the foundations. And I was communicating with them back and forth. They wanted so much information. Who's supplying the photographs? What are the photographs? What will be the caption? And I provided all the information, and I was running out of time because I need time to do these things, you know. So then I dropped the idea. And it's the same with Michael Schumacher's situation. As we see, it's happening at the Olympics also, people getting lawsuits for using somebody's music and this and that. So, yeah, nothing is new under the sun.
Don't worry, Nasser. I guarantee that LCH will be on the Wheaties package at the end of 2022.
Who do you think will be world champion? Give me one name.
Fernando Alonso.
Oh, I should have known. Excusez-moi. Okay, sir, that's good. And, you know, I want to see a great season like we had last year. And just one request, may the best man win on the track, not in the steward's room or in a boardroom or in Supreme Court in Bangladesh or something like that.
Excellent, Nasser. Just a FYI, I've set up an interview between you and Michael Massey. He'll be texting you shortly.
He will be.
Bravo. Anyway, keep up the good work, Nas. It's down to the wire. Next week, we'll be talking about Fernando leading the pack. Are you prepared for that?
Oh, I have been since the final race of the 2007 season.
Excellent, Nasser. Keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. We're going to see you on the track next week. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.